I'm Don Merrill, and I'm talking with Kim Thatcher. Ms. Thatcher is running for Oregon Secretary of State. Ms. Thatcher, welcome.
Thank you.
Ms. Thatcher, I interviewed you in 2014. At that time, you represented House District 25, but you were running for the seat you currently hold, which is Senate District 13. Then I asked you why you wanted to move from the House to the Senate, and you said that was a good question. So 6 years later, I want to ask you, why do you want to move out of the legislature and into the Secretary of State?
That is where most of my focus has been during my 16 years in the legislature, has been dealing directly with topics and commissions and committees and all that deal with the Secretary of State's office. I have worked on the Legislative Audits Committee longer than anybody there. I've worked on the business issues that, especially getting the small business advocate in place and advocating for that in 2011. And I've dealt with elections issues. That's been a topic that I've worked helping with securing our elections, making sure we have a people-driven process, which has been kind of tricky because it seems like the legislature wants to whittle away at that and erode that right, the initiative and referendum process. And so it just makes sense for me, especially as a business owner that has run some pretty big projects and lots of moving parts and people that will translate well to running the Secretary of State's office, and also being able to run the corporation division and knowing what businesses are going through today.
You know, I'm curious about something. In Oregon's history, secretaries of state have become governor. The most recent example is our current governor, of course, Kate Brown, who was Secretary of State. And then Mr. Richardson, who became Secretary of State after running for governor, but then losing to John Kitzhaber. Do you want to be Oregon's governor eventually?
I am not looking to be Oregon's governor. I could only find three situations in Oregon history where a Secretary of State stopped being a Secretary of State and succeeded to the office of governor, and that was the most recent one being, of course, our current governor. But I'm prepared to be so if this rare combination of events happens, but that is not why I'm running for Secretary of State. I'm not looking to use it as a stepping stone to a higher office. I really would like to just serve as Secretary of State, and that is what I'm very much prepared to and equipped to do, and that's what I look forward to serving in.
When I interviewed former Secretary of State Richardson, I interviewed him twice, and he told me that although he was Republican, to some extent he felt like he was breaking with his party, in that he wanted to execute the office in a nonpartisan way, not only in letter but in spirit. Other Republicans felt his achievement to Secretary of State was an opportunity to work toward turning the state redder, and so that makes me ask, how would you be different from your opponent, Shamia Fagan? The Secretary of State is an elected position, but as I mentioned, Mr. Richardson strived to treat it in a nonpartisan way. So what would you do differently in the way you would lead the office over the way your opponent might lead the office?
I admired the way Secretary of State Dennis Richardson handled this office and dealt with this office. He looked at it, and I also look at it, as mostly a managerial type of a position with what should be nonpartisan responsibilities. And I absolutely agree that is how the Secretary of State's office should be run. My opponent has Democrat for Secretary of State on her sign. She has mentioned in forums before that she thinks Oregon needs to have a Democrat Secretary of State in there. I just don't see this as, I am looking at using an independent commission for redistricting, honoring much of what was in Initiative Petition 57 that was not able to make it to the ballot due to the difficulties with COVID and all that. But there were a number of proposals, or a number of people, a wide breadth and spectrum of political views that were supporting this concept, everywhere from NAACP and the Taxpayer Association of Oregon, the League of Women Voters, and many others that were supporting the independent commission. I have said all along that I would support using that type of a commission in redistricting. I am not looking to sit with you know, a hand-picked group of people to look like it's going through a nonpartisan process when really it just, you know, is not. It is somebody that wants to put their thumb on the scale as far as how our districts are drawn. I think that is a big difference between me and my opponent.
No, I've been watching ads from your opponent, campaign committee, and I see that one promotes her and then one attacks you, but I've yet to see any type of ad from your campaign. You're a seasoned politician, and Ms. Fagan's ads have been running for weeks, and the election is a month away. Where are your campaign ads on television?
They are playing. I have a couple of different ads out right now. I don't have quite the war chest of money that she does with the six-digit, you know, handful of six-digit donors, but I do have ads running, and they are mostly in the Portland area right now, I believe. I don't know where all they're playing. I don't make the ad buys, but we do have a couple of ads running.
You know, so much of what happens, what's happening now, relates to our 2014 conversation. Back then, you called the session where the legislature was split evenly down the middle by party. You called that a fun session. But in conversation,
it was the best.
But in conversations I've had with candidates this year, as part of a candidate interview project I've been running, Democrats say they can't get anything done because Republicans are being obstructionists, while Republicans say Democrats and their supermajority mutes a lot of their concerns and they get steamrolled, which is why they walk out of session. The last few sessions seem to be anything but fun. What's that been like for you, and will you miss the lawmaking part if you become Secretary of State?
I absolutely agree with many of the sentiments expressed that it has not been fun, not fun at all. In fact, had voters been able to be given a chance to have their voices heard on some of these bills that they just wanted to block from them having a voice, you would not have seen the walkouts that you saw. You would not have seen the denial of quorum. You would have seen probably some bipartisan bill passing, you know, lawmaking. But there just was a concerted effort to try to block voters from their right to a referendum. They were being blocked from being able to call the question on legislative action and put it to a vote of the people. They were being blocked from getting information on even how much something like, you know, the cap and trade, for instance, was going to cost. So it was just kind of financial malpractice combined with blocking voters from being able to weigh in, and the ability of even able to look into the program once it passed. There was just, you know, a lot of non-transparency built into the bills where things would be hidden. There were situations where, well, I just really disagreed with the fact that they were blocking voters from being able to have their voices heard through the referendum.
In what way do you feel it was being interfered with?
Well, the referendum process is interfered with when an emergency clause is added, and it's added for just for the reason to block people from weighing in, because it was a big question. It was going to be affecting a lot of people. It was going to be affecting the whole state, every man, woman, and child, every business, your cost of living. Everything was going to be going up, and everything was going to be effective. Yet they put in an emergency clause to essentially make it so that it was passed upon signing by the governor, and that would have precluded the ability of voters to put it on the ballot through a referendum.
And just quickly, could you explain why the emergency clause has been a significant point of discussion and frustration for Republicans in the legislature?
Well, the emergency clause has been used for no other reason but to block voters from, referring what the legislature did to the ballot and calling the question, saying, hey, we don't agree with this as voters. Let's put it on the ballot and let's have a statewide vote on it. That has been blocked when they put the emergency clause on it. And there are a lot of bills that have an emergency clause on it where there's no problem. It's bipartisan. It is something pressing. It needs to pass before it lapses, or there's a good reason for putting on an emergency clause. But there has been abuse of that, and that's what has been happening lately with the emergency clause to purposely block voters from a referendum.
Oregon has a Democratic executive and a democratically dominated legislative branch. Do you think that that puts any political pressure on the Secretary of State's office in terms of how it does its job, or actively hindering the vote in favor of one party or another?
Well, I think your original question was, if there's Democrats running the state, does that put pressure on a Secretary of State? I think that you need to have the Secretary of State. In Oregon, I don't know about other states, they all seem to have sort of a different job description. Ultimately, all deal with elections, but other than that, things can be a little bit different and varied among states. But in Oregon, the Secretary of State is the one check on the one-party management of the state right now, and it would be the one check and balance that would be out there to be able to evaluate performance and make recommendations to do things better, to make sure that we have the best processes in place, that we have a government working in the best way for people. And I think that when you have another, when you have, well, my opponent, for instance, took $50,000 from the governor who runs the agencies that the Secretary of State would be authorized to audit. And to me, that seems like a bit of a conflict of interest and does not display, you know, an ability to, or an intent to hold that branch accountable. And that's what I think the Secretary of State should be doing.
If you lose your race, will you stay in the Senate?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of my second term in the Senate, and I have two more years to serve.
Okay. I just asked because I know that sometimes when candidates are running for office, if they don't win the race, they don't pursue re-election. So that's why I was asking.
No, I'm in the middle of my term, so.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you, back in 2014, you said, and I'm asking you this as a legislator now, you said that it didn't make sense that taxes were lowered for some industries but not others, and for the whole economy to get the benefit of increased tax revenue, all business should benefit from lower taxes. But as you know, there's a vaping and tobacco tax ballot measure this year, and there was a corporate tax measure that lost, you know, the last time. If businesses are trying to keep as much profit from their revenue as possible, isn't it their other mission to pay as little tax as possible? And how does that benefit the economy?
Well, they hopefully are using whatever the law says they can do in paying their taxes. The tax laws are written in such a way that they're very convoluted, very difficult to follow. And when you have bigger businesses, they have really expensive accountants that do work the system and make sure that they're paying as little as possible legally. Now, I'm not sure what you're asking there, other than I just feel like different industries should not get some sort of a benefit above and beyond another industry or different size business within an industry. There seems to be a lot of disparate treatment of businesses in our state, and I would rather see it simplified, and I would like it to be easier to pay, I mean, easier to figure out, and I think that would benefit our government. I think that would benefit the revenues that our government gets. The CAT tax is one example of another complicated tax. It's not just 0.57%. It's 0.57% of the lesser of two, you know, your revenue minus $1 million, but then minus whatever is more, whether it's your labor or your cost of goods sold. So it's not straightforward. It is convoluted, and I just think that doesn't help business. It doesn't help revenue generation for our government either.
When I talked to you back in 2014, you got pretty emotional when we got on the subject of how slow and sometimes frustrating our government can be. And you remembered your visit to China and how in one way, it was good that they got things done quickly, but it was bad in the other way because people suffered as a result. And you implied that, you know, especially the way the United States is going right now, I'm thinking about it, you implied that the United States, with all of its problems, doesn't necessarily need to aspire to the efficiency of other countries that might move faster, but not necessarily better. Considering the way our government has been going through its ruminations over the last few years, do you still feel that way?
I do. I think that, excuse me, for as messy as democracy is and our representative republic is, that it's one of the best ways, it's the best form of government that in the world. We may not be real efficient. We may have some divisions, but at the end of the day, I would much rather have that than an authoritarian, dictatorial, get or done type of state like China.
When I talked with other Secretary of States in 2016, I wasn't surprised that election officials defended their voting systems and procedures. But considering everything that's been happening since then, do you think that they have more reason, and would you as a Secretary of State feel there's more reason to defend them now? Like in Oregon, for instance, you know, is everything working the way you'd want it to if you had the job, or if you could make changes, what would they be? Because I'm assuming you've been following the operation of the Secretary of State and you have thoughts about what you would do if you became Secretary of State.
Well, I would like to look at the election system from top to bottom, from registering to vote, clear to certifying the election, making sure that we do have the best processes in place, that we have, we don't have any gaps where people who may not intend, who have no good intention, we can manipulate things or, you know, expose a weakness. I want to make sure that we don't have those weaknesses. I want to look at, you know, so whatever that reveals, whatever that sort of review shows is what I would like to change. But I would also like to change the ORSTAR, which is Oregon's campaign contribution and expenditure reporting. It is very difficult to use, I think. It is not real user-friendly. It's difficult to follow the money. I think that would be something that we can improve and help help people follow the elections a little bit better. I would like to be able to get a more of an online, you know, a way of having some more voter engagement online. And I would also like to look at postmarks to accept those when, like Washington, up through election day, if a ballot has been put in the mail and it's postmarked by that, you know, by that day, then it should count. There are people in Oregon, or excuse me, county clerks in Oregon who would be more comfortable with allowing postmarks to count through the Saturday before the election day. And that's fine too. But just making sure that people also have the knowledge on how to get a ballot when they've been displaced. With the wildfires and thousands of mailboxes having been burned down, plus hundreds of miles of roads having been shut down, most of them are opening up, but still it's causing people to have to go out of their way to get places. And these people who have been displaced by wildfires don't necessarily know where they're going to be in order to change their address with the Secretary of State's office or the county clerk's office before October 13th. So there's that, and I think we should be allowing for better access to in-person voting opportunities for these people who have been displaced by wildfires, and also to get the information out in a more robust way so that they know how to get their ballot.
You've touched on several issues. You've touched on voter integrity and issues maybe involving election fraud. You've talked about the mail. So I have questions for those. So Speaking of the mail, Postmaster DeJoy's order to remove some high-speed sorting machines from service has worried some over how votes are received or included in the final count. But he also told the National Association of Secretaries of State about 10 days ago that the post office sent a mailer to voters, encouraging them to educate themselves on how to vote by mail. Some of the secretaries of state I talked to considered the mailer helpful. Some of them considered it confusing since it wasn't really in line with the way that they educate their own voters. And I wanted to ask you, what do you know about Postmaster DeJoy's effort to help explain the voting process to voters with this mailer, and what do you think of it?
Well, I don't have a huge opinion. I remember seeing it in the mail, and I thought, huh, that's interesting. I didn't really analyze it that deeply. But I know that the county clerks in our state work very closely with the different, you know, the post offices and making sure that they're all set and that they are, you know, coordinating on what is supposed to be happening with ballots. For instance, they don't forward ballots. Just because somebody changes their address with the post office doesn't mean their ballots will be forwarded. Their ballots only get forwarded if the person changes their address with the county clerk or the Secretary of State's office. So that's the only way.
Oregon and states with mail-in balloting have gotten a lot of attention, mostly negative, from the president, who seems to be against mail-in voting. From your perspective, what do you think his opposition is for mail-in voting, and do you share it? I mean, what do you think about Oregon's mail-in voting system?
I think Oregon has a pretty good process in place. I do think there's always room for improvement, and that's why I would like to look at the voting system top to bottom, look at all our processes, kind of look at it as a white hat hacker, if you will, just to kind of make sure that we don't have any vulnerabilities. And we do these. I think we should be doing these evaluations regularly. I think we should be doing an audit or spot check, random check of the voter list, making sure that we're, you know, keeping up with that and keeping our list current. And I don't necessarily share the president's view on that, because I think Oregon does have a lot of safeguards in place that maybe other states do not have. I think that it would be, not really great to force all states to adopt Oregon's way if they're not ready. I mean, if they choose to, absolutely. I think Oregon can serve as a good example of what, you know, lessons that we've learned, things that will maybe help other states, and maybe they can even improve upon some of the things that Oregon has done. But I think that after my conversations with Secretary of State Dennis Richardson in looking at our elections and asking him and querying him as to what he thought of the system, I've never met anybody with more integrity. So I have to say that I will agree with him when he said that Oregon's vote by mail is a pretty good system. I mean, it's a good system, and to have other states look at Oregon is a good thing. But making other states adopt vote by mail, if they're not ready, it took us a couple of years to get up to speed. So I just think that it should be up to the state. Oregon can serve as a guide, and we have a good system.
With regards to the current COVID-19 pandemic, do you think that it's the Secretary of State's job to educate voters on how to protect themselves? I saw a report that said left-leaning voters tend to vote in advance by mail, and right-leaning voters tend to vote in person on Election Day.
Are you talking about nationwide or
no,
in Oregon?
In Oregon. Do you think that the Secretary of State's office has any kind of responsibility to encourage people to be as safe as possible when they vote?
I guess. I don't think that's their main responsibility. I think we all have had a lot of education on how to handle ourselves in this COVID situation. We're all told to wear masks and socially distance and wash our hands and, you know, stay home if you're sick. I don't think that we're uninformed in that regard. But as far as polling places, only polling places that we have are within county clerk's offices. I think ballot drop sites are a great way to vote. I would rather use a drop site than the mailbox, because at least I know my ballot's there. It's been received right there. And I'm not having to wait for it to go through a big process with the post office in order to arrive, you know, eventually in the right place. And, I don't know. In Oregon, we're 100% mail-in ballot or drop-off ballot in that you drop off your ballot in a drop site. But a handful of people do still vote in person, and there may be good reasons for that. They may not be able to get the privacy they need at home. They may be getting pressure from other family members or household members to vote a certain way, and they're just thinking, no, I want to do this away from them, and I want to be there, and I want to drop it off right away and not have it in my possession so somebody can, you know, do something with it. Maybe they just feel safer doing that, protecting their vote. It's one of the most valuable things we possess is our vote.
You know, speaking of that, President Trump is repeating something to his voters he told them back in 2016, which is to watch the polling places to ensure there is no fraud. Back then, critics said he was just encouraging people to intimidate people not like them to not vote. And there was a recent incident in Virginia where some of President Trump's supporters tried to interfere with that state's early voting. What do you think Oregon is doing to help make that kind of watching of the polls unnecessary? Because, you know, some people would call that voter intimidation.
Voter intimidation doesn't belong in Oregon. We have a very decentralized voting process where we have basically 36 elections going on around our state and many, many drop boxes. That has no place in anywhere as far as voting in our United States.
And this is my last question. Why should Oregonians vote for you for Secretary of State?
Well, I have a good combination of experience in both the public and the private sector, and all of it can relate to the Secretary of State's office. I've been working on these issues for a long, long time, and that would include being on the Public Records Advisory Council, trying to help make access to our public records easier. And I'm on the Transparency Commission, something I helped create back in 2009, reaching across the aisle and passing a bill to put our state checkbook online. And, you know, as a Republican, I know, and I'm very practiced with working across the aisle with other people and trying to get consensus on issues. So that's been a necessary skill to have as a Republican to get anything done in the state. That's what you have to do. I've been in the legislature 16 years. My opponent's only been in for 6. I've been a business owner for 28 years with many employees. And I don't think my opponent has that experience. So I've weathered economic storms in both the legislature and haven't had to make hard policy decisions and budget cuts and, you know, all kinds of things like that. I am looking at it as a nonpartisan race in that the Secretary of State has nonpartisan duties, and I commit to doing that. I commit to utilizing an independent commission for redistricting. I'm not just going to be sitting in a closet turning the state the color I want with a Sharpie.
I just want to touch on something you said. Do you think that you had said you're not going to be sitting in a closet turning the state the color you want with a Sharpie? Is that what you feel? Is that what you feel that your opponent would be doing?
Maybe not so directly, but I feel like she would be. She would put together a commission that has the appearance of being independent, but really it's kind of tilted her the way she would like it to go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, Ms. Thatcher. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
I'm Don Merrill. I've been talking with Kim Thatcher. Ms. Thatcher is running for Oregon Secretary of State. Thanks for listening.